everyone. This is Jody Sweeten from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Let's talk about Target Circle.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circlecard.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Look at us doing things.
Look at you. Yeah, you're international recording here.
Yes, yes, international recording. Here I am in Canada and using my phone as a hotspot because the hotel would not work with Zoom. And yeah, it's probably going to eat up all of my data in like the first 15 minutes of this because I think I only get a very limited amount. So let's just see where this goes.
What's your bill going to be like next month?
It's going to be interesting.
Just send iHeart your phone bill for the month.
Right, right. iHeart can pay the $3,000 phone bill. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I don't know. I honestly don't know what's going to happen. One AirPod is working. I can only hear you in my left ear.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is great.
Unless something else has gone horribly wrong and I just can't hear out of this ear. And because there's no one else in the room, I don't know. But I think it's just the AirPods.
Sure.
Which is annoying on a whole other front that like, they said they were both charged.
Oh, darn.
I hate technology. That's it. I'm going back to, can I get a,
let's be Amish.
One of those.
She's thinking about
it. Feels like
it.
A lot of commitment. No, it feels like a lot of commitment. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I think less of the religious aspect of the Amish and more just the, I can't get technology to work properly.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because I'm old. So I think that's more the thing. Yeah.
We'll be Luddites instead of Amish. They're just anti-technology.
Yeah, I actually just read a fascinating article. Luddites were not anti-technology. They were not. The mistake.
They were not anti?
What's not.
Okay.
They were not anti-technology. They wanted to be included in the discussions of how machines and workers were being incorporated at the time of the Industrial Revolution, but they were left out of the conversation. And so instead, they destroyed the machines, not because they wanted to, but because they were basically like, hey, we want to figure out the best way to move forward. Yeah. And the industrialists that ran everything were like, no, we don't want you to be a part of this. We just want to exploit your labor.
So. Oh, okay. So it was like a protest. They were like,
it was a protest. They were ran by a man named Luddite. So I forget his first name, but anyway.
Okay.
There's your historical lesson for the day.
How do you know all of this? Like, this is so,
I don't know.
The most random knowledge that you remember.
Cause I just read, I don't know. I just read a lot of articles and weird things that like pique my interest and they're all over the map. So yeah. So there's your history lesson for the day. And I'm sure everyone that's listening to this podcast is like, can we get to the point?
Can
now?
We get to the point? Well,
speaking of Luddites and lack of technology, this entire episode that we're about to review is all because of like a lack of technology, a map. You'd have to know. Now you'd be like, oh, Santa can see my GPS location.
Oh. I was like, well, the plane didn't fail. It was just, it was weather. Well,
it was weather, but Steph freaking out that Santa wouldn't find her.
Oh, right. Yeah, this was pre-GPS.
Pre-GPS. You couldn't call your family. You had one payphone.
That's true, the payphone.
This was one of those episodes that the lack of technology, really.
Well, this is great. This is the first holiday, the first Christmas episode. Right?
First Christmas episode. I'm so excited. Yeah. We had the Halloween teaser, but that was just it for...
It was just a teaser. This,
though, starts with a holiday teaser and goes all the way through.
Oh, yes. It's Christmas all the way through. Christmas chaos. It's just Christmas such a chaos. Classic sitcom Christmas episode. I love it.
For sure. I remember this episode... It was really fun, to shoot. I loved, Stephanie got a lot of fun things to do in this, a lot of little emotional moments that I had to be very disappointed. But yeah. I just remember, I remember Bob on the thing coming back in. And, so many fun memories with this episode. The conveyor belt. I remember drawing the pictures for Stephanie's map and, the signs and stuff. So, yeah, it was fun.
Oh, very accurate then. Okay.
Oh, yes.
It's a genuine six-year-old drawings.
It's a genuine six-year-old, yes, including Tony the bird. So.
All right, well.
All of which will make sense, by the way, once you've watched the episode and listened to this. They're like, who's Tony?
Watched this episode, you're like, what are they talking about? They've lost it already.
I think they know that already.
Well, yeah, we lost it a long time ago.
Anyone listening is like, oh, yeah. They never started with it. To lose it.
Well, let's try to get into it anyways and
let's
see.
Let's do it. Let's spread a little Christmas
cheer.
Let's see
how far we can get through before your phone data runs out, before your iPod or AirPods die.
There's no time to be mucking about. We have to get through this episode before all of technology fails on my end.
This is my colonoscopy prep day, so I'm fasting. If I pass out, just keep going. Just go without me. And, we'll make it work.
This episode sounds like it's hanging on by a very precarious thread.
It is.
You haven't had to start drinking. You don't drink the stuff, though, until later.
Okay, I have a few more hours before I start the actual drink. Right now, I'm just fasting. So I've got all my tea, Gatorade, all your clear liquids, the broth. I've got all of
the broth. Right. And it's never in your life are you more hungry than when you have to have some sort of a procedure and they're like, you can't eat. And you're like, now I'm going to die. You're like, I can't. Right.
I regularly skip breakfast all the time. Never hungry. Woke up at 6 a.m. and I'm like, I'm starving. So, all right. We are both hanging on by a thread today.
So just don't think about it. So don't look at the donut purse behind you. Don't look at the donut purse.
Jody,
I had a donut yesterday. I'm distracted. Okay. Good Christmas.
Let's get into it, please.
Let's. Before my phone runs out. Hurry.
Right, okay. Welcome back to How Rude, Tanneritos. My name is Andrea Barber.
And I'm Jody Sweeten. I thought for a second that you just pushed the times two button and I was like, wait, I thought that was only for playback. That was impressive.
Thank you.
That was very impressive.
I was trying to hustle for you, Jody.
You could be an auctioneer or something.
Well, today we are discussing season 2, episode 9, titled Our Very First Christmas Show.
Aww.
It originally aired on December 16th, 1988, and it goes a little something like this. When the Tanners get stuck in an airport in Colorado and must spend Christmas there, Stephanie fears that Santa won't find her. Those are big problems. Big problems.
Fear. Yep.
Yeah, genuine fear. It was directed by John Boab and written by Kim Weissikoff, who's one of our male writers. He was great. He was with us for most of the series, I want to say.
Yeah. Okay. I think Kim Weissikoff was on the show for
many seasons.
Many seasons. I don't remember, I will be honest, I don't remember our director, John Boab.
I don't remember him either, but he's directed before, so we were just too young. We were too young.
I was too little.
Yep, too little. Too focused on drawing.
Sorry, apologies. Apologies, Mr. Boab. Nothing personal. Yeah.
Definitely not personal.
I mean, I don't really remember, things from last week, so it's, that's gone. Long gone.
We have some fabulous guest stars again this week. We have returning as Grandma Katsopolis, we have Yvonne Wilder, and then returning as Grandpa Katsopolis, John Apria. And we also have Christy Summers, who plays the stewardess, the nameless stewardess. Right. She did guest appearances in Cheers, My Two Dads, and Charles in Charge. And then, drum roll, please, playing the role of grumpy man Lionel, we have Sorrel Book, who is famously known as Boss Hogg in Dukes of Hazzard. Oh my gosh, yes. This guy is so great. He's so good at everything that he does, and he's particularly really great in hilarious. This episode. Oh my gosh, he's so angry. Such a curmudgeon. He just like nails this role.
Oh, that's exactly who, like, I mean, I, you know, that was exactly who he was. Like, every character he played was
the curmudgeon-y
mad
guy.
He was Boss Hogg. Again, you know, problematic show. It's the late 70s. Well, we're not going to go there. Boss Hogg was an epic character. I just remember him in his big giant white cowboy hat.
Yes, that's right.
With the accent.
Big, everything was big. Big hair, big
those
hat, Dukes, big
those,
accent.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Those Hazzard Boys. Right.
And unfortunately, he died of cancer in 1994, just after his 64th birthday. So,
not very young. I mean, not very young. Oh wow, not very old. Jesus,
not very old. See, that's okay. You have jet lag. I have colonoscopy prep. We have a lot of excuses for why we're going to screw things up today.
So. Oh, everyone's like, I'm so glad I tuned in.
This is middle age, a middle age podcast. Okay, we start with a teaser in the living room, where Danny is adjusting the camera while everyone stands in front of the Christmas tree ready to take their annual Christmas card photo.
Oh.
Danny announces, "Everybody look merry, peaceful, and joyous." He runs in to get the shot, telling everyone to say Christmas cheese. But the phone rings and the girls all run to get it, forgetting about the camera. The guys grab the kids just in time for the camera to click, producing a very cute and semi-chaotic Christmas card picture.
I thought it was
relatable.
An adorable Christmas card. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So relatable.
I mean, one of the reasons I don't do Christmas cards is just like getting the picture alone is like, never mind. I don't want to deal with it.
Oh, yeah. It's an extreme sport trying to get your kids, especially when they're little, to behave.
I love, though, it's such a cute like family card, though, that they're all, you know, Joey and Jesse and Danny are all in it with the girls. Like, I love that they, you know, we're making that their Christmas card is like a complete family. I'm going to be a little judgy, though.
Oh, what's your judgment?
The tree, and no offense to trees, it was a little oddly shaped.
Oh, it was a squatty.
Right?
It's a squatty tree, yeah.
It was a strange...
it's a bottom-heavy tree.
Choice. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It was, it was like kind of out weird angles and not like... it didn't look like what I expect sitcom Christmas trees these days to look like.
Oh.
I think... Like, it's just everything looks so perfect on TV these days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Everything,
like, can you imagine
perfect.
A fuller house? Right, it'd be picture perfect. But that, like, you know, was kind of a weird, funky looking tree. I didn't hate it. I just was like, oh, an interesting choice to, you know, be the Tanner family Christmas. But I like that it's a little off.
I liked it. It looks more real. It looks like they just went out back and chopped it and put it up. You know, it's not like
they
the
obviously,
perfect
I mean, they
tree.
Of course have a Christmas tree lot in their backyard, along with a used car dealership and a tow yard. So
yes, exactly.
That makes sense. Makes sense. It was just the big
the
annual
backyard.
Christmas tree that they grow in the backyard. Right.
I liked it, it was a lot. It was a lot shorter than the tree in Fuller House. Which did they cut this part? Did they cut the scene where you ride the tree back and forth in Fuller House? I don't think that ever made it to air.
No, they didn't. They cut that.
They cut that. They put you through a harness and everything, riding the tree, and
they
cut it.
Riding the tree, and they cut it.
Wow. Talk about how rude.
That was like the pilot episode, wasn't it?
It was. No. It was, I want to say this. I think
it
was.
Anyway, it was early in the episodes. But yes, I did have to get on and ride, quote unquote, the Christmas tree. But apparently it did not look very realistic. Yeah.
Gee, I wonder why.
Maybe that was maybe that was like season four.
I think it was season four because it was when we had new showrunners. So I feel like this was
a
new showrunner thing. They were like, hey, let's put Jody on a tree.
That's right. It was season four. Yeah, here, you throw her on a tree. Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah. So.
And then they
I didn't have to ride this Christmas tree. So that was good.
No, it was too short and not stable enough for you to ride that tree.
So. I mean, I'm sure they would have tried to throw me on there if they thought about it, you know.
Just hanging around.
Right, yeah. Just
it was the 80s. Throw a child actor in a harness and see what happens.
Put him in a harness, fly him all over the room. They'll be fine.
Oh, dear. Okay, so we continue in the living room. It's all decorated for Christmas, and Danny is talking into a very large video camcorder saying hi to all of his viewers on Wake Up San Francisco.
Which, by the way, I just thought was like such a lovely premonition of Bob and his America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, yes. America's.
What is wrong with that?
It was very American.
America's Funniest Home Videos. Yeah, it was the Americanist thing.
It was the most Americanist thing.
But I just thought it was funny. You know, here's Bob with his gigantic camcorder again. Oh, and that was like, people were impressed when you hauled that rig onto your shoulder. You need like a Steadicam operator for those things now.
That's a workout. That is a HIIT workout, trying to lift those things. And he kept turning it around to face himself. It was pre-selfie days. So this was definitely a commitment.
It was impressive.
Very impressive for Danny to go to all this effort just for his viewers of Wake Up San Francisco.
Well, there may be other reasons, which everyone's hinting at, but we'll see.
Oh, right.
Why Danny's recording the show.
Oh, yeah. True. So he announces to his viewers that he's off to Colorado for the first annual Tanner Family Christmas Reunion. All right.
Wait.
What?
Hold on. My thought was this.
What's your thought?
Are the Tanners from Colorado?
I was trying to figure that out because we know that the mom, his mother, is from the Seattle area.
Like living, Tacoma. Well, that's where she lives now.
Oh, maybe.
But I'm wondering if the Tanner origins are Colorado.
From Colorado. I don't know. They never go into it more. It's just, this is where we're just going, wondering. Colorado. Yeah. All right. Yeah. They're like, choose a state that has snow because this is part of the plot is that they get snowed in.
Right.
The plane has to land. So Colorado. Right. Okay. That's the snowiest state. That works,
right. And we've already been to Tahoe. Jesse, you know, obviously snowshoes up there all the time with his band.
And his motorcycle and his helmet, right?
And his motorcycle is off his snow motorcycle. Right. His snowtercycle. Right. Yeah. So it's...
Yeah. Yes.
Got to come up with somewhere new.
So Joey and Jesse burst through the kitchen doors carrying their luggage on skis while joyously singing Sleigh Ride. They are in fantastic moods. Like they've opened this show with some great energy.
Right?
Yeah. They are so happy. Danny continues to record while introducing Jesse, who starts rapidly fixing his hair when he sees the camera. Danny asks them to say something to the viewers of Wake Up San Francisco. Joey starts, "Hey, you there on the couch? I dig those kooky pajamas." While Jesse adds, "Danny's only taping this vacation so he can write it off as a tax deduction." Bingo, there it is.
There it is. And Danny's like, "That would be wrong. But also, if you are going to air this on the show, then technically it's a tax deduction."
Right. I think it's a great idea. The viewers want to come along for this, and Danny needs a tax deduction.
Works out well for everyone.
That's called planning ahead.
You know, he's had a house. He's looking for all the deductions he can get.
He's got a lot of mouths to feed, so he needs all the tax breaks he can get.
That's true. Yeah.
So Danny laughs from behind the camera and points it at himself and says, "Memo to me, edit that out." He tells Jesse to be careful with the red bag full of Christmas presents and then asks Joey if he remembered to bring his Santa suit. Joey shakes his blue duffel bag. He is psyched.
And the jingling is not going to give it away at all.
Oh, no. No, the kids won't figure that out at all.
I'm sorry. Why is your bag jingling? What? It's not. You must be hearing things. I'm sorry. Right.
Just distract the kids with something
else.
Yeah. So Joey announces that he's been working on his ho, ho, ho all week long. Joey motions for him to stop the Santa impersonation because Stephanie is walking right down the stairs. Joey and Jesse turn the Santa laugh into ho, 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 home on the range. Good save, guys. Good save. Danny starts recording Stephanie and points out that her happiness is what Christmas is all about. Steph replies, "Daddy, I don't want to go on this dumb trip."
I feel like telling a child that your happiness is what Christmas is all about is just a really great way to like raise a narcissist too. Like, this is all about you. Isn't that the entire antithesis of what you're supposed to be telling your kids at Christmas?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, hey, it's don't worry about it. We're all together. That's the point. No, this is all about you and your happiness.
Yeah. It's all about fulfilling your expectations.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Giving you the things that you want. Yes.
Right. Right.
It's a lot of pressure, man. That is a lot of pressure.
I mean, even though that is what most parents probably think about at Christmas anyway, it's like, God, they have to be happy and make these stupid kids happy. But yeah.
But you're not saying that on your camcorder to, you know, a million Wake Up San Francisco viewers, too.
It's true.
So Danny's like, hey, the camera's still running. Steph, can you be a little bit cuter? So she puts on a big smile. And in her high-pitched voice, she reiterates, I don't want to go on this dumb trip. And gets a huge laugh from the audience. You were selling that.
You asked me to be cuter. You didn't tell me to change my message. So I can, to this day, I can very cutely tell you something that, you know, you may or may not want to hear.
Just say it with a sweet smile on your face.
Just, yes, yes, yes. Bless your heart. Okay.
So Stephanie says that Santa Claus will never find her in Colorado because he knows that she lives here. Danny assures her that Santa will be there on Christmas morning. Steph says, well, she had to be sure, so she drew him a map. She explains the poster board. It has the North Pole, Santa is here. And San Francisco, Stephanie was here. And Colorado, Stephanie will be here Christmas morning. And then she finishes by pointing to a bird she drew named Tony.
Yeah,
it's just random. Tony. Tony, yes, of course, Tony.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Anthony would be ridiculously formal for a bird, so
right. You know, you're on a first-name basis with Tony.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Much more casual. So then we cut to Michelle's room. DJ is tying Michelle's shoes, and she asks Michelle if she can keep a secret. Michelle replies, okay, DJ. DJ closes the door and admits, I found out where Dad hid all our Christmas presents. Michelle gives an adorable, stunned look back at DJ that's not at all prompted by Adria later. DJ tells Michelle, I'm getting a new CD player, Steph is getting roller skates, and you are going to be rolling in new toys. Michelle shouts back, toys! She's very excited about this. DJ reminds her not to say anything and then locks her lips with her fingers and tosses the key. Michelle does the same, trying to copy her. It's very, very cute.
Very cute little moment.
Such a cute little
scene. Did you ever find Christmas presents or something like hidden that you weren't supposed to find, birthday presents or anything?
No, that was not my, that wasn't my thing. I wanted to be surprised, you know. I was also a rule follower.
I did too, but I accidentally found stuff one year. Like I went looking for a pillow or something in my mom's closet.
Oh.
And I like pulled something down and it was on the shelf and I was like, but I like put it back and was like, you didn't see that. You didn't see that. Like, kind of tried to convince myself. And yeah.
Come
and
on, just Janice. Surprised. Janice has got to find better places to hide the presents.
Well,
you know?
She's usually, was very like, don't go in there. And I, you know, was like, it was towards the end of, you know, where we could pull it off anyway.
Oh, okay.
Towards the end of,
okay.
Yeah.
I never found presents. I never wanted to find presents. I never accidentally found presents.
Accidentally did. It was not, I didn't like it. It was not fun.
No.
I don't want to. I love surprises.
I like being, surprised too. Even if you give your parent a detailed list with links of everything you want, I still like to be surprised about what did you actually end up getting. So, yeah.
Right. I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure, stress-free, and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Out. We'll make it like it's 1988. No phones. No nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going to put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your Rippers bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know about you listeners, but my social battery has been pretty drained recently. I've noticed how easy it is to spread myself too thin, especially when life feels nonstop. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you manage to maintain a good balance? I found therapy to be the best tool in maintaining my energy levels. I'm now able to be my best self for not only my friends and family, but most importantly, for me. I truly believe therapy is for everyone, no matter how big or small your problems may seem. Seeing a licensed therapist can help you get to the root of your problems and empower you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/howrude today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/howrude.
Hey, Fanaritos, we want to talk to you about Target Circle, the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals.
I know it, and I definitely love it. And did you know that the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
It's the new Target Circle 360. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
The next set, we are on the airplane, which is very cool. Boy. This is a cool set for, you know, an 80s sitcom.
Right?
It reminded me of the Fuller episode where we were on our way to Japan and they brought like...
Yep.
They constructed like half a plane and without one of the sides, one of the walls.
It reminded me also of the episode where Steph and Michelle wind up on the plane to Auckland.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of Oakland.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, there's a lot of airplanes in this series. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic set. Looks very realistic, just like a 1988 airplane.
Oh, it's great. Yep. Don't call me Shirley.
Okay. Such a good movie. So as the passengers are getting settled, Danny still has his video camcorder out and he's asking DJ to recap what is going on. She says, "Well, Dad, I'm getting ready to buckle my seatbelt and return my seat back to its original upright position." Steph says she made a sign for Santa that's featured on yellow paper in the shape of a caution sign reading "Stephanie on board." She gives a few little eyebrow raises as she shows it off, which is so-
my little Groucho Marx there.
Oh, it's so cute. I can tell you're focusing really hard on raising those eyebrows.
Yeah.
It's
oh, yeah, for sure.
Adorable. So Joey walks through the aisle holding Michelle, and he tells her to say hi to all the nice people on the plane. Michelle waves, "Hi, people," and the passengers in their seats all wave back. Joey announces it's her first time flying, and everyone lets out an annoyed groan.
Yeah.
But Jesse stands up telling everybody, "Hey, take it easy, take it easy."
I mean, already, if this family was on your flight, you'd be like, "Oh my God, we got this guy with the camera,
right?
And then these people, and we got a baby,
and
this guy's introducing, we don't care."
Right, and a girl with her signs.
Girl with the signs, and the woman with the fur coat shows up wearing pantyhose, underpants, why? This family is like a nightmare.
Yeah.
To travel on a plane with.
This is the family you want to avoid whenever you're traveling.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
So Jesse's mom, Irene, is walking down the aisle decked out in that fur coat and matching fur hat. She has this very sour expression on her face. She says, whoever designed these airplane bathrooms was not wearing pantyhose. But you're right. Why is she wearing pantyhose on a flight underneath, like, winter wear? Like, this doesn't make any sense.
You know, maybe it's kind of an old school thing. I feel like, I feel like pantyhose were something that maybe that was, like, more that generation. I don't know.
Yeah, they get, I mean, they, like, get up and get ready and get dressed even for, like, travel days.
She's wearing fur coat. My God, I can't talk. A fur coat and hat on the, like, she is,
yes.
Maybe she's very cold.
She's very cold.
She's like, I needed layers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Where are we? So Jesse is in the seat between his dad and his mom. And Nick starts to complain about how many grandsons are going to be at the reunion, none of them being his. Wait a minute. Why are the Katsopoli grandparents going to the Tanner family reunion in Colorado? Is it just like they're just really
because
into...
Because it was their former in-laws.
I can't, okay, yeah, they were married for like 10 plus years.
And they wanted to be with Jesse for the holiday, he was going to support Danny on his first Christmas without Pam?
Oh, no, I think this is the second.
Is it the first Christmas?
This is the second. Well, second season. I'm assuming it's the second Christmas, but it's still nice that he's being supportive.
This is still close, but so maybe, and then they went, I don't know.
Okay, that makes sense. I assume they know the Tanner side, but I was just like, why are they?
Yeah, no, it was their ex in-laws. Maybe they were like, oh, I mean, they, you know.
No, they're going to be supportive. Okay.
They're going, yes.
Going to be supportive. And Irene's going to show off her fur hat and her fur coat and her pantyhose.
Right. She's just, right. She's going to make a scene.
Yeah. Right. So Irene chimes in and tells Nick to stop pestering Jesse about grandsons. At least wait until he is married. And then she leans in and says, by the way, when will that be? They're desperate for grandchildren, you know? Goodness.
Right?
Cue Becky. What a great entrance here for Becky.
Dun, dun, dun. Like, how random she just shows up and...
Becky's there. The Katsopoli are there. Like, everybody's on this flight.
Did we know that Becky was going? Or
no.
I couldn't quite... It was, she just walked on the plane and was like, what are you doing here?
It was one of those sitcom coincidences where it's
right.
Like, oh,
okay, got it.
She just happened to be on this flight going to Nebraska with a detour to Colorado.
Right. No, I get it. Look, everyone's on the plane. It, you know.
Got to make the storyline work. Got to make the storyline
work.
So Becky just walks in and everyone's very excited to see her. Danny, of course, takes this opportunity to turn the video camera on her face and says, oh, it's my co-host, Rebecca Donaldson. He asks her to say something to the viewers and she says, hi, viewers. I bet Danny is making this tape so he can write off his vacation. See, everyone's just kind of pointing out the obvious here, you know.
I mean, yeah.
So Jesse gets up from his seat and says he is surprised to see her. He suggests the two of them could slip away and go skiing or something. She thanks him for asking, but she's just changing planes in Denver. She's going home to Nebraska for Christmas. Jesse responds, oh, you know, I've always wanted to ski in Nebraska.
Which is funny because Nebraska is very flat.
It's very flat. That's what I was thinking. I think there's snow, but
it's
snow
the middle of, hills. Yeah, for those of you maybe that don't live in the country or don't know why that, yeah, there's no, you can stand on a 6-foot ladder in the middle of Nebraska and see
the whole state.
300 miles. Yeah, exactly. Like it's just it's very flat farmland. So yeah, when Jesse's like, I've always wanted to ski in Nebraska, that's
like, oh, Jesse. Yeah. Maybe he meant cross-country skiing on the flat.
Yeah, that would be about it. That would, yeah, snowshoeing would be about it.
So Joey stands up and announces, well, that was Jesse Katsopoulos striking out. Jesse looks at the video camcorder and says, memo to you, edit that out. So then a gentleman comes up to DJ, very perturbed, accusing her of sitting in his seat. I've got one B, child, he says. And DJ responds back, no, I have one B, adult. She's just snapping back with those remarks. And Danny apparently has one B also as well. And the stewardess is like, well, I guess we assigned three people to the same seat. Whoops. You know, not much has changed in air travel. No,
I was
going
to say, I was like, good to know that hasn't improved and actually gotten worse.
It's actually gotten a lot worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
They still overbook flights all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So the angry gentleman complains that he reserved his seat 3 months ago and he will be sitting there. The stewardess mentions having two openings in first class and the angry man quickly changes his mind. She says to him, oh, no, you reserved that seat 3 months ago and that's where you're going to sit. Touché, angry man.
Right? That's it. That's what you get.
Mm-hmm. So the flight attendant offers the seats to DJ and Stephanie. And Stephanie says, okay, what is first class? And DJ explains, it is a magical land where people sit in seats as big as sofas and eat shrimp cocktail. Stephanie excitedly says, okay, let's get out of this dump. And the girls are off.
And I'm sure first class was like, oh, great, two kids.
Two kids, unaccompanied, right?
two unaccompanied minors in first class. Yay, right.
Doesn't get better than that. So we cut to some stock footage of a generic airplane flying through the sky, and then we continue back inside the airplane.
Well, you have to make sure and let everyone know we are in a plane that is in the sky, in case you were wondering.
It's later that day. We are in flight currently, yes.
Right.
So the flight attendant asks Danny if he enjoyed his dinner. And he responds, well, the liver wasn't bad. She corrects him, you had the chicken, sir. He grimaces and says, oh, well, then that was awful.
Then you probably have food poisoning, Danny. And this is just getting stuck in an airport is going to be the least of your problems.
Right? Where's the nearest bathroom? That's the main concern.
Yeah. Oh, God.
DJ and Stephanie walk through the curtains. First class is so rad. We had lobster and ice cream sundaes. What did you guys have? Joey answers, we had the liver in a chicken suit.
Not good.
Not good.
Not good.
So Becky comes up behind the girls to bring them back to first class. It's the pilot's birthday and they're cutting the cake. Boy, it doesn't get better than this, man.
Does it? No.
Cake, lobster, ice cream.
Haven't you ever seen the giant parties that are thrown on a like hour and a half flight from San Francisco to Colorado?
That's a lot of eating. That's a lot of eating.
How long is the flight?
It can't be more than an hour and a half. No.
Right.
No. So they'd have to fly, just right across. So,
Yeah.
All they're doing is eating lobster, ice cream, and cake the whole flight, basically.
In one bowl.
In one bowl.
It was lobster ice cream sundaes. Yeah. Very avant-garde. Yeah.
So gross. So we cut to the Katsopoli, and Nick is telling Jesse how wonderful Becky is and how they would make a great couple. Jesse explains how, well, he's tried, but she just wants to be friends. He admits that, well, she's one of those girls that, her career comes first. Nick replies, well, I understand that girl's lib stuff, but you gotta tell him who's boss. Jesse's mom butts in and says, I didn't hear that. I was rolling
my
eyes.
So we see that the apple has not fallen far from the misogyny tree. Got
right?
it. Okay.
Like, right. Come on, you guys. Like, there's so many wonderful things about Becky.
I was like, the girls' lib stuff?
The girls' lib stuff.
Lies.
I know.
Anyway.
Yes, it all makes sense now why right? Jesse is the way
Irene
he is.
Irene should rip those pantyhose off and just wrap them right around his neck. Okay, no.
So then Danny asks Jesse to hold up Michelle because he wants to get a shot of her little junior pilot wings. Jesse sits her on top of the seat, and Michelle looks down, coolly saying, hey, man, to the angry man. He responds, kid, can't you see I'm trying to work here? And he's working on a very clunky...
On a laptop computer that, it for the time, was, I'm sure, state of the art.
For sure. Oh, yeah.
But, like, what was he doing?
Well, it looked very prehistoric. It was just a clunky piece of machinery. Like,
the screen, like, flipped up. It was basically, like, if you took, like, your computer's, like, thing that was sitting on the desk, which was still a giant thing, and just put a smaller screen on it that flipped up.
It looked like a cash box with, like, a screen that just popped up for a second. It was boxy and weird.
And I was like, what are you doing on the plane with that? So you don't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's true.
What are you
what
just typing
doing?
A receipt? A typing a document? I mean, I guess, what, maybe he's typing a, I don't know. I don't know what he's
angry.
Typing. Very angry.
He's very angry. He's just typing out his feelings.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just getting all of his emotions out because he's stuck on this plane with this dang family.
Right? Yeah. And it's so obnoxious sitting the kid on the thing. I would be losing my mind.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, I want a refund.
I kind of don't blame him for being this cranky curmudgeon.
Yeah, I don't blame him either.
Danny tries to get Michelle's attention, but she's too focused on this gentleman's hair. She pets the top of it, saying, kitty. She slowly pulls off what turns out to be a toupee. An angry man freaks out. Danny apologizes, saying, Michelle really loves animals. Like, that doesn't make it better.
It doesn't make it better. Yeah, I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. She loves the animal that you have taped to your head. Why do kids always do that, though? I remember my kids, you'd be out somewhere, and they'd be like, oh, look at the man with the thing. And you're like, oh, my God. Hi.
Yes, they always say,
don't say that.
There's like, no filtering. They just say whatever's on their
but
mind.
But it's true. And you're like, well, I, oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They always do that. They always, yeah. Felicity was obsessed with, when she was little, like 3 years old, she was obsessed with parachute time from Gymboree. So she'd go up to people with skirts and want to like,
oh no,
do parachute time.
So, yeah, that's amazing.
Like,
wow.
Yeah. You know, having teenagers, maybe it isn't so bad after all, because at least we're past that phase, the parachute time.
I hope so. That's a whole other issue. Yeah. But, wow. Yeah. No, that's always fun.
So we hear Michelle start to cry, even though Mary-Kate is clearly not crying at all. So Jesse kind of turns her so you can't see her face anymore.
Right.
And Jesse tries to soothe her by singing her favorite lullaby. He starts singing The Girl from Ipanema by Stan Getz.
Everyone's favorite song. Who doesn't love a good bossa nova lullaby, you know? I mean, it's a great song, but it just that's Michelle's favorite lullaby? About a girl in a bathing suit?
It was a weird choice. It was a weird choice, but, you know, when you're desperate with a crying child on a flight,
it's a great mellow little song. It's a bop. But yeah.
And then everyone sings along too. I don't know how he gets all these passengers to comply, but he does.
I don't remember. I guess that was a very popular song.
Or everyone's just desperate to get this child to stop crying. So like, fine, we'll sing along.
Right.
Just to get her to calm down. So the flight attendant gets on the loudspeaker and announces that there is a heavy snowstorm in the Rocky Mountain area. So they will be making an unscheduled landing. Everyone groans at this news and she responds, "Sorry if I bummed you out." Boy.
But where are they landing in the Rocky Mountains if it's not Denver?
Right? That's what I was thinking. Clearly, these riders are not from Colorado.
I mean, I know the Rocky Mountains are large. I'm not saying that, but like...
They're in Colorado. They can't land in the mountains. They have to land at the closest airport.
Right.
That would be Denver.
And this is obviously a large plane. You got three seats and three seats.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big one.
Yeah, it's like a 747.
Just take a little regional airport, which is what this looks like. I don't know. I'm just saying, I was like, where are you landing in the Rocky Mountains if you're not landing in Denver?
Yeah, it's very nondescript. You notice that the airport does not have any signage or, you know, you don't know where they
are.
Anywhere. Clearly this was written by writers who live in California and don't live in the Rocky Mountain region.
And again, you're like, I don't know, whatever. Don't think about it too much. And then you give it 30 some odd years and people think about it.
Now we're doing a podcast thinking about all these things.
Now I'm overthinking everything, including why the Tanners landed here.
The next scene, we are in the airport baggage claim and the family runs inside after landing. Snow is covering their heads and their clothes. The flight attendant gets everyone's attention, telling everyone, due to this totally incredible blizzard, the flight will remain grounded until morning. Stephanie screams, "What did you say?" And the stewardess continues, "So let me be the first to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas." She's just so like cordial and just, you know, put on a happy face.
Someone would have thrown something.
So Danny looks heartbroken, saying that he has spent months planning this reunion and now they're going to miss it. DJ asks, "We're going to spend Christmas in an airport?" Stephanie says she knew they never should have gone on this trip, adding, "Santa will never find us now." She walks over to an empty, hard, plasticky airport seat to sulk. We cut to a sad commercial break, and then we are right back at the airport. Stephanie is pleading on the payphone in a phone booth. This is so great.
In a payphone, in a phone booth.
Like, it just screams 80s. So many things about this
scene. Gosh.
Stephanie pleads on the payphone, "Operator, if Santa is not listed, then give me the number for Mrs. Claus." Hello? Hello? How rude. And she hangs up.
Gotta get a how rude in there.
Yep. I love it. Stephanie runs over to the group looking for help on how to get Santa on the phone. DJ assures her family that she'll handle this one. She says, "I know how to talk to kids. Come here, shrimp." The angry gentleman then walks up to Joey and asks, "Is your tribe sitting here?" Joey says yes, and the man responds, "Well then, I'm sitting way over there." He's so petty. I kind of love
this. Probably a very smart move. I kind of love him.
I
kinda
love
smart
the pettiness.
Move.
Like,
I'm
so...
sorry, you hear I'm not going to be. Because, yeah.
He didn't need to announce this. Like, he could have just quietly gone to sit over there. No,
he
no.
He is the in-person version of people who announce that they're leaving your social media page.
Oh, right.
Where you're like, you didn't need
I'm
to tell me that.
You.
Right. You're like, you could have just gone. Right, but he was like, I'm going to let you know that I'm not sitting near you, which, you know, okay.
I loved
have
it.
Have fun, sir.
The passive aggressiveness. Like, it's just,
yeah,
oh,
go,
it was
you
beautiful.
And your little cat, go sit over there on, you know, your gigantic computer and whatever you're doing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You take you and your kitty toupee and just go wallow in your pettiness.
And go, I don't know, go write something in MS-DOS or I don't know, whatever. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like the little blinking green cursor. Right. Yeah. Go play.
So amazing.
Whatever, Oregon Trail or whatever. You know what I mean? Go.
That's all he's doing. He, you know, he's playing solitaire or something. He's not actually working.
He's playing Snake or Oregon Trail. And right? He just keeps dying of dysentery. And he's like, not again. Right.
That's why he's
my
so
ox.
Cranky.
Yeah. He's trying to get to the end. He, you know, his ox keep dying.
These pesky kids keep interrupting his game. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy is a vibe. So we cut to Jesse and Nick. And Nick gestures towards Becky and tells Jesse, look how miserable Becky looks sitting there all alone. He encourages Jesse to go comfort her. He says, times of crisis always bring people together. Trust me, I met your mother the day Elvis got drafted. Jesse says back, Pop, that's taking advantage. Then he ponders the idea for a second and says, oh, well, you know what? That might actually work.
I mean, he was right the first time. He was right. The instincts are there to not be a scumbag. But he's like, you know, why not?
He quickly course corrected.
Let me go make your emotional state work to my advantage.
Right. That's, you know?
By making out with me because you're sad.
The Katsopolis men never change. Never change.
Boy, yeah.
So Jesse runs over to sit with Becky, asking how she's doing. She admits that moving to San Francisco has made her homesick. She was really looking forward to spending Christmas with her family. Jesse mentions, well, I'm sure my parents would like to think of you as part of my family. Becky blows right past this remark and says that she hasn't.
She's like, yeah, anyway.
She didn't even
also,
blink.
10 kids. Becky comes from a family with 10 kids?
Oh, yeah. You know, who knew?
Who we never meet see at the wedding, by the way. Anyway,
you're right. Well.
They were always pissed that she moved to San Francisco.
Yeah, they never forgave her for that.
They were mad because they never forgave her for that one Christmas that she didn't make it.
Right, yes.
They were like, that's it. They excommunicated her from the family right here.
Never to be seen again. Yep.
Yeah.
So Becky says that she hasn't seen her family in a really long time. And her brother has mentioned that Janice has really blossomed. Jesse asks, oh, Janice, is that your sister? And Becky responds, no, my cow. She excuses herself to go call home. So Jesse's dad walks over and says, what happened? And Jesse sadly replies, well, she went to go call her cow. I love that the cow's named Janice.
What if it was
too.
One of those little cute mini cows that's, you know, furry and like a lovely pet?
We've already seen her milking Marilyn the goat. You know, she loves her farm animals.
She likes her farm animals better than creepy dudes.
Yes, she does.
I mean,
she's got her priorities straight.
Got to come better than that, Jesse. Got to come better than that.
Yeah. Got to do better. So Danny asks Joey where the bag of presents is, and Joey doesn't know. The bag hasn't come in yet. Danny grows more concerned. They lost the bag of presents? What are we going to do? Joey suggests that they look for it, and Danny admires, oh, you are so good under pressure. DJ is comforting Steph about Christmas and is guaranteeing that she will get the roller skates she asked for. Stephanie asks how she can be sure. And DJ tells her, well, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer will find you because his nose is radar. Stephanie's confusion is alleviated. All these years, I thought it was just a headlight.
Yeah, oh, no. No.
No, that thing is
dual
useful. It is. Modern-day GPS. So Danny asks Joey if he's had any luck finding the presents yet. And Joey shakes his head. Nope, nothing yet. Steph runs over to Danny saying she has good news. DJ explained it. Santa will get here with the presents because Rudolph has red nose radar. Danny thinks fast, admitting that red nose radar doesn't always work in heavy snow. Steph asks if that means that Santa isn't coming, and Danny tells her, well, he'll find you in a couple of days if he doesn't show up here. Stephanie is upset, but it's not the same. It won't be Christmas morning. And she goes back.
And you told me that this is all about my happiness.
Right. The whole thing rides on her happiness.
It's all about my happiness. Yeah.
And then he's not delivering. Yep. Steph has a right to be upset.
It's true.
And she goes right back to her phone booth. Her phone booth of comfort.
Right. I still like small spaces. Yeah, they're cozy. You know, she was like, let me just lock myself in this little phone booth.
In that room with all those people, the grumpy man, the Tanner family, the Katsopoli men and their misogyny, I'd go hide in the phone booth too.
I would too. Steph is like, get me away from the, you know what? This is just, never mind. I'm going to go sit in a phone booth.
Relatable.
Yep.
But DJ's confused. She tells Danny, I had her all cheered up and then you bum her out big time. Danny tells DJ, well, she's old enough to hear the truth. It admits that the airline lost their bag with all the Christmas presents. DJ freaks out. What? No presents? You mean they lost my new CD player? Danny asks, how did you know you were getting a CD player? And DJ says, oh, did I say CD player? But then she starts to turn angry. Stephanie was right. We never should have gone on this trip. This is the worst Christmas ever. Danny announces to his family that this isn't going well and asks, any ideas? Jesse's mom shakes Joey's blue bag, and they all smile. Mm.
Because the jingling doesn't give it away.
The jingling doesn't give it away
right,
at all.
Right. And I got to say, like, Danny's like, what are we going to do? What are we? Can't find the presents. I'm like, didn't you just organize an entire Tanner family reunion in Colorado, and now you don't know what to do when the bag got lost?
Yeah. You know, he's
But
he's
you know
panicking.
What? I think maybe Danny sometimes under pressure panics. We all do. We all have
We all do. And that's on brand for him to panic and be like, what do we do? What do we do? So, yeah. You know, it's understandable. All of this is riding on Stephanie's
Danny
happiness.
Panics. Steph sits in a phone booth. Right. Joey does an impression and Jesse just tries to make out with someone.
Jesse's
That's
just
what we're all
on
handling trauma are in our own way. Right.
Yep. Everybody's on brand. So we continue in the airport lounge here. Michelle is staring at the man with the toupee saying, kitty. The man whips his head around and holds on to his hair for dear life. Then Joey, who's dressed as Santa Claus, comes up behind Stephanie. Steph is so relieved that Santa has found her. He wishes the entire airport a Merry Christmas, and they all yell Merry Christmas right back. Santa takes a seat and tells Steph to sit on his knee, and she is ecstatic that he knows her name. Stephanie tells him she has tried so hard to be good this year. Santa says, well, I know that you've been cleaning your room and making your bed. Steph adds, hospital corners. She's so proud.
Yes.
Santa also knows that Stephanie ate that last slice of cold pizza that Joey was saving for breakfast. Stephanie is shocked. You do know everything.
Apparently Joey's still holding on to that little resentment.
Yeah, he's not letting that go.
He's like, yeah, and by the way.
Yeah. Cold for you because you ate the last slice of pizza. So Santa also knows that she's been very kind to her family and friends. He adds, little girls like you make the world a lot better place. Aw. Grandma Irene places Michelle on Santa's lap. He says, ho, 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 to Michelle. And Michelle responds, ho, ho, Joey. Well, the jig is up. Stephanie tries explaining, no, Michelle, that's not Joey, that's Santa Claus. See? And she pulls down his beard. Stephanie's shocked. It is Joey, she yells. Ugh. And she quickly gets off his lap. Oh, man. Stephanie is furious. What a mean trick. And she tries to run away. Danny
just
catches
fooled
her.
Fooled by her own delusion. Fooled, right? But just unwilling to see the truth.
Yeah. I know. Danny catches her and tells her, well, Santa can't be everywhere at once. So Joey is one of Santa's helpers. Steph doesn't believe this and insists that they don't try to make her feel better. She stomps back to her emotional support phone booth.
Yeah, she's like, don't patronize me. I'm not an idiot. I mean, although she didn't see it was Joey, Michelle did, but whatever. She, you know, again, blinded by her own delusion, but she's like, look, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I'm going back to my phone booth.
Yeah, I don't blame her. Now, what is this like as a six-year-old doing this scene? And how do they explain to you that, okay, this is still acting, like, you know,
well, because
Joey's gonna play
I
Santa?
Knew, well, Because everyone knows that Santa has representatives.
Oh, okay. So
that
you
go
just...
to different places. And so obviously some people dress up as Santa, but that doesn't mean they're the real Santa. Just like the mall Santa isn't the real Santa.
He's a representative.
It's his representative. Right.
Okay. So this didn't ruin the magic for six-year-old Jody as believing in Santa. You were just like, okay, this is just all about the representatives.
What about 42-year-old me?
Oh, sorry.
Wait, what?
Santa's still real. No, that's right. This is just a representative. Okay.
Yeah, it's just a representative that is there. Anyone can dress up as Santa, but the real Santa, you know.
He's busy.
He sticks to himself.
Yes. He's up in his own emotional support phone booth up in the North Pole.
Or so you'd think.
So Grandpa Katsopoulos concludes that this has been a rotten Christmas. DJ emphasizes.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Grandpa Obvious. You know what I mean? Like... Way to go. Way to bring everybody up. Well, this has been crap.
You know, don't try to help the situation. Just comment about how crappy it is.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nick. DJ's still upset that the presents are lost. Joey's upset that he's broken Stephanie's heart. And Becky is sad that she won't get to see her family or her cow. Danny announces that this is all his fault. If it wasn't for me, we'd be spending Christmas at home instead of in a baggage claim. A soft music begins to swell as Jesse chimes in.
I feel a Christmas feature coming. As you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like
that change in music.
Having done Christmas movies now, we know too. We're like, ooh. I can my Christmas tingly sense starts getting. You're like, this is a moment for town motivation.
Oh yeah, it's the Christmas. Right. It's Jimmy Stewart rolling over in his grave.
It is yes, that's exactly what it is. I was like, this is it's a Wonderful Life moment.
It totally is. So Jesse begins his speech. What is the matter with you people? The first Christmas was in a manger. They did okay. I mean, so what if we're stuck in this crummy dump? Christmas isn't about presents or Santa Claus or cows. It's about a feeling. It's about people. It's about us forgetting about our problems and reaching out to help other people. Christmas doesn't have to happen in one certain place. It happens in our hearts. So if you think about it, we could have Christmas anywhere, even in a baggage claim.
It's actually
a good speech. You know, it got to me. I was like, he's got a point.
Yeah, Christmas, it's a feeling you carry in your heart.
It is.
Happy holidays.
It is.
From a baggage claim.
He's the polar opposite of Nick, who's just like, this Christmas sucks.
Right, Nick is like, this sucks, right.
And Jesse is Jimmy Stewart reincarnated here.
Right, yeah, exactly. He's like, an angel's getting it every time an angel, or a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. Right. That's why they keep shaking the bag. Clarence is coming.
So many angels are getting their wings in this episode.
So many, yep.
So Jesse's really getting into this. He asks DJ what she sees near the wall. She tells him, a coat rack. But Jesse corrects her. No, he sees a big, beautiful Christmas tree. And we're not asking why there's a coat rack in a baggage claim at an airport. That's
right?
Kind of weird. Who hangs up their coat?
A hat rack? Well, who puts a hat? What's a hat rack in a thing?
Yeah, I mean,
I've never seen a movable hat rack
in a baggage claim where you're not really.
But then again,
parking.
I've also never looked at a hat rack and been like, a Christmas tree. So I, you know, it's.
The joke has to work. The joke has to
work.
So there we go. We got a hat rack.
You know, you have to, yeah.
So then Jesse asks Joey what he sees over there. Joey tells him vending machines. But no, Jesse sees a Christmas dinner with all the trimmings. So at this
corn
point.
Corn nuts. Everything's covered in corn nuts.
That's not. I could go for that. You know, it's not a bad. Not a bad appetizer for Christmas dinners, corn nuts.
I have a weird thing with corn nuts. I think it was like a thing that like all the boys in my like elementary school, like fifth or sixth grade class used to eat. And they always smelled like weird ranch corn nuts. And I just, it's an aversion now. I don't like it.
Okay. Well, core memory there. All right. You don't want to have corn nuts for Christmas. Got it. So the point that Jesse's trying
to make.
Corn
nuts roasted over an open fire. Sorry.
I love it.
Corn nuts roasting on an open fire.
It's, hey.
Hat racks decorated to be trees. Okay.
We're just going to butcher all the Christmas carols, Full House style.
Ugh, only I had a phone booth.
So the point Jesse's trying to make is that they can give these kids the best darn Christmas they've ever had. Jesse starts.
That might be an exaggeration. Well, I don't know about the best Christmas they've ever had.
But they can make it not so crappy. Yeah, right. They can make it like 2% less crappy is the point, right. Really. Jesse starts to sing with excitement, getting everyone in the bag claim to sing Sleigh Ride with him.
Can you imagine you're stuck in an airport and this yahoo starts singing Christmas carols?
You're like, sir,
this entire family needs to stop, okay? You're making us sing now and you're making us have... What if there's someone in there that's like, I don't even celebrate Christmas?
Right. No, these are excellent points.
I just think these poor passengers. It's just these poor passengers are like, God, stuck at an airport with these people.
They thought their worst problem was the crying baby. Oh, no, no, no.
No.
It's Jesse.
It's
and
the
Danny
singing family. Yeah, it's a montage is what it is.
It's a musical montage.
They have no idea that they're in for just a nightmare Christmas montage while stuck in this airport.
It's so ridiculous, and I love it. So Danny grabs Stephanie from the phone booth, and a grin slowly starts to spread across her face.
Didn't want to. I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweeten?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure stress-free and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we time travel isn't real, but what if we take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll make it like it's 1988, no phones, no nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going to put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your ripper's bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com. Or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Hey, Fanaritos, we want to talk to you about Target Circle, the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals.
I know it, and I definitely love it. And did you know that the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
It's the new Target Circle 360. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
The camera cuts to later in the night with everyone sound asleep, except for Michelle. Michelle switches the conveyor belt to the on position, which moves Danny while he sleeps right through the back lane. It's so funny.
Just totally right out there.
And then she waves at him and says, bye, Daddy. Like, she's not even concerned that she just sent her father to God knows where in the right? back of the airport. She doesn't care. The audience is loving this too. Jesse wakes up and grabs Michelle and whispers Merry Christmas to her. Then he very abruptly turns on the very bright lights to wake everyone else up. What?
I was like, why are you like the worst kid on Christmas morning? And all these people, like, I finally fell asleep in my plastic chair in an airport.
Right.
And again, this idiot is waking us all up. Yeah.
He's the worst. It's so, nobody wants to wake up like that on any morning, much less Christmas morning, much less in a baggage claim.
In an airport. Right.
Come on. This Yahoo.
Right. Right.
So Stephanie, who clearly has not been asleep, she's already awake and she shouts, it's Christmas in an airport. Oh, darn. DJ sees the makeshift Christmas tree and she loves it. She says, you know what? It doesn't matter that there are no presents. Then Danny slowly rolls in on the conveyor belt covered head to toe in snow. No one can tell exactly what it is. So Joey tells everyone to stand back. He'll handle it. Then he whispers to Jesse to go see what it is. Jesse reports that it's only Danny, who somehow is still fast asleep, even though he's covered in snow.
Covered in snow. Yeah, that was impressive. I was like, Danny is a very sound sleeper.
He's a heavy sleeper.
I mean, maybe he took, maybe he was like, I can't sleep. I don't know. Maybe
he took a sleep aid or something. He was like,
yeah, something.
People.
And he was like, we almost lost Danny to hypothermia.
Nobody's concerned. Nope.
Yeah.
So Jesse remarks, well, he's probably just dreaming of a white Christmas. Danny sits up covered in very obviously fake snow and sarcastically says, very funny.
Which I was like, what? I'm trying to remember what that's made out of. And it's like shredded plastic.
It's shredded plastic. Yes. It's not coal.
That's great.
It's not. It's just, yeah, just no, shredded plastic.
Just shredded little bits of like white plastic.
Yeah. It never melts. It
like
just
thin
it's just
paper.
There.
Yeah.
It sticks to your hair. It like sticks everywhere. Yeah.
I think they make it out of something different now.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Well, it's a little more believable now. Now it's like that foam, like that.
Right.
When they
but that's only
it.
If it's like actually falling. But if it's on the, I don't know.
Some sort of foam cutout thing
right.
from Joanne's Fabrics. I don't know.
Right. From Yeah, exactly.
So Danny shivers as he gets up and Becky insists on getting him some hot coffee to warm him up. Nick points to Becky and asks Jesse, what do you see over there? Jesse responds, I see Becky by the coffee machine. But Nick has a different observation. I see a woman waiting to be kissed under the mistletoe. Man, Nick
I
is just writing this
I see a man
hard.
who just doesn't know when to quit.
No, why is Nick so obsessed with this matchmaking? Like, come on, give it a break, Grandpa.
Right? You know? Like, bro, I see an old man that needs to settle down
yes.
is what I see.
Like, look, I like Becky just as much as the next person, but he needs to just calm
down. I like
down.
Becky too, but she's getting a damn coffee.
Yeah, like
she's not even, she's minding her own business, Nick.
She's made it clear she wants to be friends, so let it rest, Nick.
Man,
come
creepy.
On. It's so creepy. So Nick says that the first time he kissed Irene, it was under the mistletoe, and it lasted until New Year's. Man, these Katsopolis men, they're just revving their engines all night long. Nick emphasizes there are two things that Katsopolis men are known for, kissing and great hair. And they both stroke their hair back in agreement.
I feel like that's selling yourself short if that's all that you're known for. You know what I mean?
Well,
I feel like there's bigger things.
That's all, they're boys. That's all that's important to them, kissing and great hair. Like,
great
what
hair.
Else matters in life,
yeah.
you know?
It's true.
So Jesse walks up to Becky at the coffee machine and wishes her a Merry Christmas. She tells him it's so nice to be with his family on Christmas, and he tells her he's happy to be with her as well. He shows Becky that they're standing under the mistletoe. She's hesitant, and he says he knows she just wants to be friends. But he emphasizes, it is a Christmas law to kiss under the mistletoe. Becky says, well, I am a law-abiding citizen, and leans in for a kiss, which then turns into a full-blown makeout session. Whoa,
because of
baby.
Course it does, because they're in a public place, which right. apparently is really a thing for everyone on
this
show.
This must be like an aphrodisiac for Jesse, is just a kiss in front of people.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, I just love making out, having my first kiss in front of public places, and particularly in front of my parents.
In front of parents, in front of his nieces, in front of the angry man. Everybody's watching this.
Everybody. In front of the coffee machine.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He does not care.
I mean, it's our first Jesse Becky kiss, though, so we have to give
that's true.
a moment.
Give this a moment. It deserves a moment.
We have this moment. Mm. But it is, yeah.
And they do have a ton of chemistry. I mean, they still got it. Do. You know, for 36 absolutely. Years, they've had great chemistry, and it all started with this kiss. Yep. So this
it
is a very
all started in
defining moment. Yep. All started in a bad claim by the coffee machine.
Yep.
So Jesse's parents happily watch this kiss, which is just weird. Becky pulls away and Jesse mutters, "Have mercy." So Becky walks away, and then a random older lady comes up to Jesse and plants a kiss right on him.
Now Jesse's being assaulted by some random woman in an airport?
What is happening? Like, where did she come from?
Why was I like, is that Loretta? Oh my God, what's happening?
Ah! The red hair really threw me.
The red hair threw me off.
Yes,
I was like,
whoa.
The balls on this woman to just be like, okay, I'm going to snatch this man up under the mistletoe.
Yeah, she's just like, it's a free for all. He's kissing people. He's under mistletoe.
She's like, you know what? He has been annoying me with his singing and his turning light on. And he, you know what? He's cute. So I'm just going to make him uncomfortable. Just,
this is payback for the Christmas speech and the singing, like, the caroling.
You want to do all this annoying crap? Me too. And just, and then assaults him and walks away.
I kind of admire her for this, you know, the balls on this woman. She's
right. Just the audacity of her. After you just saw him kiss someone, how do you know they're not together? What?
She thought it was.
I don't care.
It's like
I'm an old lady.
Booth,
it doesn't matter. I mean, she's not an old lady. Everybody. She's just older than Jesse.
She's not old. Right. She's just older than Jesse, which makes
I mean, I guess
funny.
You can just do that in airports when you get older. I don't know.
Hey, when you're older, you don't care. You know, NFGs, you just go up and kiss people you want to. I don't know. It was the 80s. Anything goes, you know?
Right? Yeah. Okay.
So this redheaded lady looks very pleased with herself after she's done kissing Jesse.
She had a great time.
And Jesse falls back into the phone booth with a little smile creeping onto his face, though, you know. All of a sudden, Santa walks in, belting a ho, ho, ho. Stephanie doesn't react and says, "Hi, Joey." But Joey's right behind her and says, "Hi, Steph." Her eyes grow very wide and she gets very excited. Santa comes up to Stephanie, wishing her a Merry Christmas. She hesitantly asks, "Wait a minute, are you really Santa?" He tells her to give his beard a tug, and she does, exclaiming, "It's a real beard!" Then she screams, stutters, that means, you're really Santa Claus!" Oh, Steph is so excited.
Real beards are there's like, you know, Santa representatives, but the ones with the real beards, like, they go higher up in the organization is what I think.
Okay, that's how the pecking order goes if you have a real beard.
By the way,
you're right there.
I actually, with me and the random facts.
What?
There was a union of Santas.
What? There's a Santa union?
There was a Santa union. And there was and I was reading something about, what was it? And somewhere along the line, there was then another union that started because they only wanted to accept people with real beards. And then the other, and there was like a brawl between the two Santa unions somewhere.
What is happening? Wow. Talk about taking the fun out of Christmas.
Right? I think it was started by this angry guy. That's what I'm saying. This angry Santa guy.
He's leading the charge. Yeah. He is.
He's leading the real beard charge. He's like, no, this has to be real or nothing.
He is. So Santa flicks his hand in the air and we hear a magical noise as suddenly the conveyor belt moves and the presents appear. Woo!
Covered in snow.
Covered in snow. Yep. Fresh from the belly of the plane, here they come. The girls
fresh from Santa's sleigh.
Oh, that's right. The girls rush over in excitement, thanking Santa. The magical noise happens again, and Santa disappears. Danny whispers to Joey, he probably went to change out of your Santa costume. But Joey shakes his bag that has the jingles and the costume in it, saying, "I don't think so."
Uh-huh. That's why we have to have the bag that makes noise, because we have to be able to quickly draw attention to the fact that the costume is in the bag.
Yes, that's the reason for the jingle noise is just to let everybody know that, hey, this was not Joey or his costume. So Jesse grabs everyone's attention when he shows them a computer screen that reads, "Merry Christmas, ho, ho, ho." They all shake their heads in disbelief, and Steph runs over saying, "She saw Santa Claus flying away." Jesse gives an eyebrow raise to the family, asking, "You think?" DJ says she doesn't know what to think, but admits, "All I know is this turned out to be a great Christmas." She runs over to open the presents, but Steph stays by the computer. The screen changes with a magical sound, now reading, "Thanks for the maps, Stephanie." Stephanie smiles and says back, "You're welcome, Santa." Oh, that's such a sweet little moment. It's such a cute little moment
at the end.
It is. I loved it.
I wonder how many hours someone spent writing the code to make that little... Because I remember doing that in like seventh grade computer class where you would make like little things like that. And yeah, it was like entering a whole...
You can just use like the space bar and the tab button and you create the digital art.
It was great.
So great.
For early, late 80s, that was high tech.
Oh, so high tech. This is, yes, very, very impressive.
Living in the future.
So Danny encourages Stephanie to come over and open the presents with everyone as they all sing Christmas carols. A sweet message appears over the screen saying, "Happy holidays from our family to yours." And that is our show. Yay!
Ta-da!
Our very first Christmas show.
Yay! And it ends with singing in an airport.
And it ends with singing in an airport.
Our family's opening presents and all the other families are just sitting there watching.
Well, they're probably just relieved that the family's busy. You know, they're not.
Right, that's true.
There's like, get these people out of our
If we sing the song, can they shut up?
Right. Everyone's just waiting their turn to go sit in the emotional support phone booth.
Right,
take
a turn. Like,
quiet. Right.
Everyone's like, "I'd like to call my family, please." And they're like, "I'm sorry, there's this, my six-year-old child's in there throwing a fit." Yeah, having a meltdown. You can't call your family on Christmas. Yes. Sorry. But I love this. It's just a very cute episode.
Oh, it's
very cute.
The first of many wonderful Full House Christmas episodes.
Yeah.
It's just heartwarming. And we presume that the angry man was playing Santa, right? I mean, you were reading messages on his computer. He wasn't in the room when Santa was in the room. So I assume it was Boss Hogg who was playing Santa Claus, right? No?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, I just want to point out the obvious because they didn't actually obviously point it out. It was very subtle for a sitcom.
Yeah, they did.
It was subtle for a sitcom. Usually they bang you over the head with those obvious.
We saw the message on his computer.
The
man wasn't there and he disappeared and said... What do you mean it's not banging over the head with the obvious? There's practically a sign hanging. At one point, you even see him in the foreground of a shot with Stephanie when she's like, "Oh, Christmas is ruined." And you see him kind of look back and like smirk.
It's subtle for a sitcom.
I mean, we didn't see him changing into the Santa suit. I wouldn't say subtle was anywhere in this episode.
I was waiting for a button where, you see him changing out of the suit or taking off the beard.
But the buy is that he's actually Santa Claus.
Oh.
Which tells me, that's what I'm saying. The buy is that he's actually Santa Claus. But now, there's a problem with this. So is Santa just, when he's not in his Santa costume, is he just a cranky old man with a bad toupee?
Wait, so you're saying this is Santa disguised as angry man Boss Hogg? Like, it's not the reverse?
Yes, because yes.
So why was Santa pretending to be an angry man on a flight? Like, he's got his own sleigh. Like, there's no need to be on a flight from San Francisco to Denver that then gets delayed in the Rocky Mountains somewhere, you know? Like,
right?
I
and
like
why is
theory,
he there Christmas morning? He's obviously been out. Where was he all night?
I have Did anyone see him on the computer? Did we see him sleeping before Jesse abruptly woke everyone up with the bright lights? I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't think so.
I don't think so. So he just left his computer behind and went to complete his Santa duties.
I mean, it's Santa Claus. He couldn't get the elves to make him another one.
This is true. Well, and Stephanie did yank on his beard and it did seem real. So how did he grow this beard overnight? I have a lot of questions now.
He's Santa Claus. What do you mean how? It's Santa. It's just, he just does. I don't know.
It's just the magic of Santa.
It's the magic of Santa and the magic of sitcoms. It just happens. Don't question it. And that's what it is.
Well, okay.
No, look, this is not the thread to start pulling and looking for how this actually happened. I mean.
Okay. I thought maybe the angry man just had a change of heart and he was like, you know what? I'm going to do something nice for once.
And then he disappeared?
No, he
with a magic sound and made that whole thing. And
he made the presents appear. He made
Stephanie
believe.
How do you know about the map? How do you know about the map that Stephanie made and left at home?
Because He was sitting
because
in her
he's
seat.
Santa Claus.
No, he was sitting in her airplane
no.
seat. She grabbed
no.
the sign as he as
no,
she
no, not the sign. She left the map at the house.
Oh.
Remember?
Oh,
she left
yeah.
the map for Santa. She said, I'm leaving this here for him so he knows where to find me.
Oh, she didn't take it on the airplane. That was the caution sign. Stephanie on board.
Oh, right.
Okay. 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 Now you got a point. How did he find the map?
Maybe. I mean, she had just put the sign up in the window. Maybe Santa was like, oh, I got to get on this plane because Stephanie's on board because obviously
oh.
it's all about her because that's what Danny said in the beginning.
It's all about her happiness and enjoyment. Right. Oh, okay.
Right.
This is a whole new interpretation that I was not thinking of when I watched this episode. Wow.
Did you have any everywhere you look moments for this one?
I do. A really dumb one. But
I didn't, but I was, I think I was just so distracted by all of the Christmas and
all the Christmas carols, yeah. caroling.
All of that. Okay. What was your everywhere you look moment?
I just love all of these wonderful Easter eggs in the airport lounge, in the bag claim.
Christmas eggs?
Christmas eggs. That just scream 1988. So specifically I noticed the ashtrays that were like those tall cylinders,
right,
terracotta
yes.
colored, and it has like the sand or the gravel in the top.
Right. Yes.
At the end of every row of chairs is one of these ashtrays. And I'm like, because you could smoke in
right,
airports.
Right, because everyone was smoking, and it could smoke in a plane.
Yes, like that was just, I'm like, that's right. I forgot about
that's
all
right.
of that. There's no like stand 20 feet outside of the building and make sure you're.
Right.
No, just smoke right there in the back claim. Yeah,
right
it's
there.
Just great. Such. Between that and the phone booth, I was just like, this is awesome. This is so totally 80s.
I had a really awesome 3D sweater on.
You did, with presents. Everybody had epic Christmas sweaters. Like, there were Christmas sweaters abound.
Yeah, this is the origin of ugly Christmas sweaters before they were ugly.
Before it was a game.
They were always ugly
right.
before we knew that they were ugly. Right, before we came to the realization. Or most of us, anyway. I'm sure there were a lot of people that were always like, those were always ugly, honey. Yeah.
They are. None of these sweaters are particularly attractive, but they are festive. And Steph's 3D presents are adorable with the ribbons on them.
Oh,
so cute.
They were great.
So cute. The Tanner family and their ugly Christmas sweaters. Oh, man.
I mean, I guess you could have an everywhere you look moment is just a payphone, you know? A payphone and a phone booth.
Yeah. That's like you can't find those anymore, even if you wanted to. Those don't exist anymore. They're like in museums. You can find them in the Smithsonian, maybe.
Right.
But definitely not on an airport lounge.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you the last time I saw a phone booth.
Mm-mm. Nope. My kids don't even know what they are. They're like, huh? What is that?
What does Superman do these days? How? Where?
Yeah, he's out of places. He's out of changing rooms.
Well, he's got a change in his self-driving Tesla. That's probably what it is. Just
that's the modern day
self-driving
phone
vehicle.
Booth.
Right. In an Uber.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
man.
Well, I loved this Christmas episode.
It was awesome.
Really fun and really sweet. I'm glad we had a little holiday moment.
Yeah, no, it was good.
I mean,
good.
Even though it's, you know, this is, it's now March now that this is what our episode's airing. But
True. We're a few months behind here for the Christmas holiday season, but that's okay. That's okay.
It's been long enough that I didn't want, I was like, oh, no, not Christmas. You know, I was okay with it. So.
Yeah. No, it was delightful. It was corny. It was delightful. It was everything you want in a sitcom holiday episode.
All of the It's a Wonderful Life, Full House.
Yeah.
Moment inspiration that you could ask for.
It was great. I loved it.
And we got Jesse and Becky's first kiss.
Yeah, that is, you know what, I keep forgetting. In the horror of that moment.
We got Jesse and Becky's first kiss.
That's epic.
Regardless of Nick and his terrible ideas.
Right.
This will work out eventually.
It does. Yeah, they're the end game. Becky and Jesse are the end game. So
it's true.
This was the very beginning.
Well,
awesome.
I am so glad that we got to do this episode. Always fun.
I'm glad your computer is still working. I haven't passed
out
yet. My
computer's still working. There's probably a ridiculous phone bill, but that's okay.
Yes.
It is what it is, right?
It is what it is.
Yeah. But thank you all again for listening to this episode of How Rude, Tanneritos. We have had so much fun bringing it to you. Love talking about all these old episodes and old holiday episodes. But if you want to follow us on Instagram, make sure you're following us at How Rude Podcast. You can also send us an email at howrudepodcast@gmail.com. And make sure you're liking and subscribing to the podcast wherever you're listening to it so that you can make sure and get all the newest episodes as soon as they're released. And we will see you guys for next week's episode, which I'm not sure. Do we have an interview coming up next or I don't know what we have next.
I don't know. We got great things, whatever it is. It's
great
awesome.
Things, great things. Christmas carols. Sing. Oh. I'm going to go sing Christmas carols in the grocery store right now.
I'm going to go put on my ugly Christmas sweater and walk around.
Yep, I can't wait. I'm just going to go start pinning random pieces of things to any sweater that I wear.
Just make it a 3D sweater. Yeah.
Yeah. Just making a 3D. Anything's a 3D sweater if you want it to be. With enough safety pins, anything's possible.
Anything goes. Yep.
Remember, you guys, the world is small, but the house is full.
Ooh, well done.
And so is the airport.
Woohoo. Oh, man.
And my data plan. Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Let's talk about Target Circle.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circlecard.